thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. This passage is one that I believe, I haven't actually looked it up, but I think I've preached on, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in the last couple of years. So if you're sitting there kind of going, haven't I already heard this before? Yes, yes you have. And if you're thinking, I've never heard that before, guess what? These are the words, this is the passage from which the words that are over our door are taken. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. These are Jesus' words to you and to me. I want to take some time to reflect again briefly on this passage. Just before we do, though, I have one more announcement to make, and it's an awkward one for Jodine to have made, which is why she didn't. And that is that next week we're going to be commissioning Jodine in her official role. It's always awkward to announce your own commissioning. You know, come and support me and tell me how much you love me and all those sorts of things. But come along next week and support Jodine and let's show her how much we love her. Brett Davis, formerly of Christian Surfers, I suppose now, we have to say, we'll be preaching in the morning. Jodine will be sharing a little bit at night as well. It's going to be a great day, but do make sure that you're here next week for that commissioning. We've had 7 weeks to get to know her. You may or may not have made the wall yet, but your opportunity still exists for that. But that's going to be very exciting next week. This passage out of John chapter 20 has been called by one scholar the greatest commission. Which is, I suppose, in context, it's the commission that's found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations," the Great Commission. And this has been called the greatest commission. And the reason is not because they're two different commissions, but because in this passage, we have a very intimate connection between Jesus' ministry and ours. So imagine if you were one of the apostles in Matthew 28. You probably didn't know it was Matthew 28, but imagine the scene. Jesus is on the mountain. All the believers are gathered around. He's about to ascend into heaven, and he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." There's a sense, isn't there, that Jesus is on the mountain and he is giving a task to his followers, that includes us, and they are to do their task, their part of the job. Now, Jesus is still involved. The Holy Spirit is given, as we read in the book of Acts, and all of those sorts of things. But there's a kind of a sense that there's Jesus and he gives us the command to go. In John chapter 20, this is the gap between those is erased. Here, Jesus doesn't say, "Now I've done my bit, now go do yours." Here he says, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." We are not asked to participate in a different mission, but are called to participate in the same mission. And I think that that's a really significant truth to reflect on just for a few minutes here this morning. You see, in John's gospel, Jesus talks a great deal about being there to do the Father's work. It's one of his central themes. And the heart of the Father's work is to extend eternal life to those who believe. Those who believe in Jesus are given eternal life, which is not just a long, 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 long life. It's a kind of life, a life fit for eternity. This is what Jesus offers to us, and this is why he has come. He's come to glorify the Father in all that he does. He says, essentially, when you see Jesus doing something, and when Jesus does something, you see the Father doing something. So close is the relationship between them. He calls his followers to obey his commands, in particular to show love one to another. And I think this is actually where we end up kind of, shall I say, slipping out of the mission of Jesus into our own mission. Because it's so easy for us, isn't it, to see ourselves as the recipients of what Jesus has done. Because we are the recipients of what Jesus has done. Now, we've been singing about it, haven't we? We saw it represented again for us in baptism. I mean, we are the ones who have, through the gift of faith, have placed our faith in Jesus and have received eternal life. We are the ones who have received the forgiveness of sins. We are the ones who have become the recipients of all that Jesus has done. We are the ones called to and have committed ourselves to seeking to obey him, seeking to love one another, all of those sorts of things. But to see ourselves as recipients means that we don't see ourselves as participants. And there's a huge difference, isn't there? I mean, it's the difference between attending a conference and actually running the conference. You're engaged in the conference. You go along to all the workshops and the sessions and you network and all that great stuff. It's good fun, but it's a whole different ball game when you're the one organizing the conference, isn't it? It's the difference between eating a meal and cooking the meal, isn't it? Now, you're actively engaged. It might be really yummy, and you chow it down and ask for seconds and all that kind of stuff, but you're not as invested as the person who has actually cooked the meal. It's between listening to a great interview and actually doing a great interview. For those of you who have watched interviews, it looks really easy, doesn't it? Until you try to do one, and you realize, actually, that's a skill, and there's a reason why only a handful of people do them really, really well. There's a difference between the one who is receiving coaching and the one who becomes the coach. If you've ever made that shift from playing a sport or doing something to being a mentor or a coach, it's a big change, isn't it? You have a whole different engagement level all of a sudden. And to some degree, these words in John chapter 20 move us from recipients to participants. Yes, we have received eternal life. Yes, we have received forgiveness of sins. But now Jesus has said, as the Father sent me, he sent me to bring eternal life and to teach people to obey his commands. As the Father sent me to glorify him and perfectly represent him, I am sending you. I think it's why there's that little bit at the end of that about forgiving sins. It sounds a little bit over the top, doesn't it? Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. Have you thought about that? I was pretty sure Jesus did all the forgiving and we just kind of, you know, we had to forgive people who hurt us. But Jesus makes this a very significant part of the mission. And I think it's because we are to represent the reconciliation between Jesus and, between us and the Father. This is what we're called to, and there is a significant connection here. You see, and if we have shifted from recipients of the promises of God in Christ to participants, it changes things, doesn't it? It not only changes our degree of involvement, but it also, I think, shifts us from a position of privilege to a position of responsibility. And there's a big difference, isn't there? If you're the one sitting at home receiving the meal, you know, your wife or your husband, or if you're like a wonderful parent, your children cook the meal for you and you are the recipient of that, you are in a privileged position. But when you are the one who is cooking, it's now about responsibility. If you were the one being coached, you have a privilege of learning from someone who has been accredited and has thought all this stuff through. But once you become the coach, you are the one who's responsible. You have to start thinking about lineups and team plans and strategies and training sessions. And if we have been invited into the participation with the mission of God, then we are no longer just the privileged ones who have received eternal life, but we are now responsible for sharing that on. It's not just the shift from recipient to participant or from being the ones who are privileged to those who are responsible, but it shifts us from being people who consent to something to people who are committed to something. It's all well and good to consent to the truths of the faith, to consent to seeking to follow Jesus as best we can. But these words of Jesus call for commitment from us. It's not enough for us to go, yeah, Jesus, it was fantastic, changed my life. We are committed to the same mission he had, to reconcile the world to the Father. Now, you can see why we are those who would prefer to be recipients and the privileged and the ones who consent, because it sounds like a bigger task than we're necessarily up for. But that doesn't change the words that Jesus gave. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. We've tried to reflect this a little bit in our mission statement. It's kind of our own kind of localized version of this, that everywhere we go and in everything we do, we will invite everyone to follow Jesus. This is kind of our attempt to kind of grapple with that, to say that we've been sent too. We have been sent into that world. And so everywhere we go is part of where Jesus has sent us. And everything that we do is part of how we are to do that. And what we're ultimately about is inviting people to follow Jesus, to be changed and transformed by him. It's our attempt at it. But I'd like to actually challenge each of us to consider our participation, our responsibility, and our commitment to this mission statement, to the mission of Jesus, in three primary areas. You know, I want us to challenge us, first of all, to be committed to this in prayer, to commit ourselves to become a people of prayer. Jesus has said that we are to be sent as the Father sent him. Do you think we might want to pray about that? Do you think we might want to say, oh Lord, can you kind of lead me a little bit more than that? Can we begin to pray and say, Father, show us where you are at work and how we can participate. Show me where I can take responsibility to be part of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Show me where I can be committed to this. Let us pray. Pray for ourselves, pray for our families, pray for our community, pray for our church, but pray that the Lord might reveal to us what he has called us to do, that he might grant to us the courage to take the steps necessary, and that we might have the faith to believe that he is at work when it seems that he's not. Let us pray. Will you commit with me to pray? We must pray. Without it, we just have a bunch of wonderful ideas and plans, and that's not nearly enough. Can I ask you to commit with me, second of all, to serve? You know, Jesus came, as he says in Mark's gospel, not to be served, but to serve. His primary mode of operation was service. He came to save the world by dying for it. He came to change everything by serving everyone. And that must surely be our commitment as well. Now, this is a challenge for us, isn't it? Because service implies time. It implies changing and rearranging our priorities and values and schedules around others rather than ourselves. And that is an enormous challenge for us, isn't it? But can I just say, I've been reminded in the last couple of weeks that stewardship of our gifts and abilities, of our time and our resources, stewardship begins with vision. It begins with vision. Stewardship does not begin with a system or a process. Stewardship begins with vision. What are you trying to do? Because once you know what you are trying to do, what you are trying to achieve, where you are trying to go, stewardship becomes easy because the vision consumes you. So if you have a vision to go on an overseas holiday, you will become a very good steward of your resources, funnily enough. Because what will it require to go overseas? Well, it's going to require a whole lot of money. And your stewardship of your finances will be driven by the vision of what you want to see. Jesus has called and invited us to participate in his mission to change the world. He has called us, every one of us, to participate with him, to be part of God's plan to restore and renew everything in Christ Jesus. And once that vision catches, then stewardship of our gifts and abilities, our time and our resources will be simple. We need to pray that that vision consumes us, and then we need to take opportunities to serve. You all have been given gifts and abilities, skills and experiences, and God calls each of us to use them for the kingdom. I've used this illustration before, but Jodine was in Cronulla during the week at the March, I'm not sure what it's called, the White Ribbon March down in Cronulla, wrapped around domestic violence and trying to bring an end to that and being a little bit more aware about that. And she was telling me, and she saw it in the leader as well, there's a set put up. They're filming the sequel to Pacific Rim. It's kind of a sci-fi movie if you're interested, nonetheless. And there's buckets of people and sets, all sorts of stuff happening all over Cronulla. I don't know if you've ever watched the full credits of a movie. Thousands of people are involved in creating movies, aren't they? Everything from the executive producer down to, Mrs. Jones's hairstylist. There's thousands of people who are involved in making a movie happen. Thousands of people are involved in creating 90 minutes of entertainment. How many people will it take to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? If it takes 1,000 people to make a movie, how many for the kingdom? This is not something that I can do, or that the staff can do, or the staff with a handful of key volunteers can do. This is something that we are all called to do. And even then, we can't do it. We must pray, we must serve, and we must give. Ministry requires resources like any other aspect of our lives. And as a church, we have a heritage of resourcing stuff. It's part of who we are. And I mentioned earlier the church that was planted that we gave some seed funding to. I believe that there's some connections further back with Grace Point and possibly with a couple of other churches. We resource things. It's part of what we do. Now, part of our challenge is I think we need to go beyond just throwing money at stuff. And that's a bit of the temptation for us. But when it comes to sheer resources, you remember the story? You remember every May? You remember how the whole thing pans out? Project week 1, project week 2, project week 3. You can begin to give now if you'd like. Project week 4, you can begin to give now. Project week 5, you really need to start giving now. Because we've got $22.50 against a $197,000 project. And what happens? In 3 weeks, $250,000 came in. Did anybody in our church starve that week? Did anyone have beans on toast for a week? Did anyone delay a holiday that week? No. We brought in $250,000 in 3 weeks out of stuff that we found behind the lounge. We have enormous resources. And we need the vision of the mission and ministry that God has invited us to participate in to so deeply affect us that not only are our gifts and abilities, but our time and our resources become stewarded for the things of God. And I want you to commit to thinking about and praying about giving, what it looks like. Imagine what we could achieve. Well, we could stop having offerings at the end of March if we gave like we gave to May. Can you imagine that, getting up in June and saying, we don't have an offering anymore because we raised our entire budget in the first 3 months of the year? We just don't do that. If you want to give, you have to wait till next year. I'm sorry. Is it actually that big a stretch? Imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God. Of those for whom much has been given, much will be required. And we have much. I look out of this room and there are so many gifts and abilities, skills and experiences. There is time, maybe not the same time every week and maybe not as much time as we would like to have. There are resources. I mean, God has given us a great deal. And Jesus has invited us to participate, to take responsibility for, to commit to the greatest mission ever. So can I ask you to make that an item of prayer? Be doing now and next year. Let us commit to allow this vision to become all-consuming. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Not my words, the words of Jesus. Are you in? Are you in? This is amazing stuff. We're on the cusp of something. Let's get at it.